I have a question.
Hello?
Hello, Alan.
Is
Alan, are you caller? Which, where are you?
Yeah, I'm on.
Okay, you're caller 01.
I don't know how I'm listed.
You're listed
Probably.
As caller 01.
Ah.
We have caller CC. Will caller CC identify who they are? I know you were on the meeting. We had caller CC on the meeting yesterday. Caller CC, can you hear us? Okay. And then we have guest Sherry Mers. And it looks like we have a guest Travis Richardson. Okay, so it looks like we have all the trustees on. So we have a verification of quorum. Before we do an acceptance of the agenda, there was some last minute stuff that came up. So I would like to make some changes to the agenda if the board is in agreement. So earlier today, we had a concern expressed as to whether our executive session was in compliance with the Colorado Sunshine Laws. So I'm going to make a recommendation that we postpone this executive session until we can further research the concern that was addressed. And so we would take that off as item 7.
Want me to make a motion?
Why don't we wait? Can we wait and do them all? All the changes, and then we'll just make a motion for all the changes.
That's fine.
Okay, so that's the first one, and I'll write these up for you, Karen, so you can put them in the notes so you have them and it's clear. The next one is, okay. If we're removing that item 7 from the agenda, then what I'd like to do is also move the public comment agenda item 6 to the end of the agenda so that we can take care of all of our business first. And then we can do public comment at the end. And that will end up being 11, item 11, mm-hmm. because item number 6 will move up as the discussion of possible action on the appointment of an interim director. And then item 7 will be the discussion of possible action on automating payroll and benefits through an external vendor. And then eight will then become the budget discussion. 9 will be acknowledgement of a resignation received. And then I think, and then 10, what did I say? I said, I think it's 10 or 11 ends up being public comment. So I'll make sure and get the numbers straightened out. And if everyone is on agree with those changes to the agenda, if somebody could make a motion.
Patty, just a second, please.
Uh-huh.
Did you put in there that we are going to have possible action on, no, discussion and possible action on automating payroll and benefits through an external vendor?
I did. Mm-hmm. I talked, that's on the agenda, and I renumbered it to 7.
Okay, that's fine. Then I would make a motion.
I'm sorry. Wait, before you do that, 7 is that discussion and possible action on automating payroll and benefits through an external vendor. 8 would be the budget discussion. 9 was going to be the resignation. And 10 was going to be certification and approval of the mill levy. I'll talk to probably tabling that when we get to it. And then 11 will be public comment. And then we'll do next scheduled meeting and adjournment. So okay. That would be 12 and 13.
What about other business?
Yes, other business will stay the same. Sorry. That will be 12.
Okay.
Okay. I would move that we vote on, or I mean, we accept the changes suggested by Patty to the aforementioned agenda.
Do we have a second?
I will second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, so we'll
aye.
Have
aye.
An aye. So we have acceptance of the agenda, the modified agenda. And Karen, I will document that and send it to you so it's straight. And you
thank
can
you
put
very
in,
much.
You can put in the meeting minutes appropriate. Okay, so the next item on the agenda is the treasurer's report. Do you want to talk to that, Alan?
Okay. Hang on here. I got to get to the right paper. Okay. Our current assets, our Bank of Oklahoma, we still have $21,988.61. The Colorado Trust, we have zero. The Community Bank of Colorado checking account, we have $339,326.09. The Bank of Colorado, the money market account, is $801,082.29. The Community Bank savings, they're zero. We have $500 in petty cash. So our total current assets are $1,162,896.99. I signed checks today. I did not reconcile the books. I don't think we have the total bank statement yet. I will see if I can do that tomorrow. And then we'll be current to the end of the month. Is there any other questions?
Patty, I think your mic is off.
Yeah, I was saying, Robert, do you have any comments? Anybody have
no.
any questions?
No.
Any comments? Karen?
No.
And I don't have any comments. Thank you for that update. We'll move We'll move to the approval of minutes from October 27th, 2021, and the November 22nd, 2021 meeting, which was yesterday, which was, was that October 27th or was it was that the last meeting? Yeah, October 27th, that's right.
What about last night's minutes? Are we approving those as well?
Last night's minutes. We should approve those as well. We only had one agenda item yesterday, and that was the appointment of the president, of the new president.
And I sent those minutes to everyone, all the managers.
Okay.
The meeting that I was wondering about, and I don't know if there were supposed to be minutes. It's the one, it would have been November 10th, that special meeting that we held in the back in the warehouse where we all froze. Were there minutes from that?
That's what I was thinking of, Lori. Thank you for bringing that up. The November 10th meeting.
Yeah.
We do have minutes from that. And so let's, it's not really the October 27th. It's November 10th. I'm sorry. I got the wrong date in there.
Okay.
So that's a correction, not October 27th. It's November 10th, 2021. And I did see those minutes. Can we get a motion to approve the minutes for those two dates, November 10th and November 22nd?
Robert? I would move that we accept the minutes from those two dates, from the 10th, from November 10th, and from November 27th, as published.
Thank you.
I would second that motion.
Alan makes the motion. Robert seconds it. All in favor, say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, it's approved. The branch manager's report. We all of the trustees got the branch manager's report. Do any of the library managers want to add anything to it? I want to say I read it. I thought it was wonderful. And I loved seeing all the pictures of the kids, and I like seeing how involved the kids are in the library community. It makes my heart smile.
I think the only comment I would have is...
Jump in there.
Okay, the only comment I would have is that when, you know, previously when you had us eliminate branch manager reports from your, from what you were getting each month, is you missed out on a lot of fun. You have a lot of responsibility. You have a lot of things that you have to do. And I felt like you missed out on the fun that we do. You miss out on all these great outreaches and the kids and, you know, the crazy cars that show up for trunk or treat and that kind of thing. And I'd hope that you would kind of remember that and embrace the fact that you don't have to do away with the report. You could just say, hey, we'd like that report, you know, reduced to like one page with some pictures or something like that. It's not an all or nothing type of situation. So that's just my feedback.
I love your feedback, and I love the manager's reports, and I loved seeing all the fun things that get done in the library. And I think, you know, I speak for myself when I say I don't see us not continuing it. I'd like us to continue to do that. I think it's important. And it's about what's really happening in the library community. Robert, you have something to say?
Yeah, I do. I have to apologize to everybody. This has been a topsy-turvy week for me. I got the information about the resignation of the former board president, and it really has been nonstop. Every day trying to get up to speed. It was something that came as a total surprise to me. I tried to call every branch. If I did not get to you, it was not an intentional slight. Like I say, I have just been buried. I also want to say that as I went in and told her personally, it is wonderful to see Lori back in the saddle again, and that it's nice to see your faces in these meetings.
Thank you. I have one thing to add to my.
I would like to.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
One thing to add to my board report, and it's just Karen is going to correct me if I'm wrong, but I got a report today from Lisa Hughes, who does our book club. And I was out last week, so I didn't get to attend the book club, and she was absolutely thrilled. There were two new members. We've had a third inquiry. Lisa said it was the best meeting that they'd ever had, that they all had fun. They chose books for next year, and I was so amazed that they chose books for, I think, all but a couple of months, and I don't think I'd read any of them. That is the coolest thing ever about a book club, is that people are putting in book suggestions that we haven't read. And so I just wanted to say, you know, the poor old book club really took it on the chin during COVID, and seems to be coming back together. And we're just very excited. And we were so glad, Lisa was so glad to have Karen there. For one thing, because we don't read about science.
I gotta tell you what happened. it was a lot of fun. One of the members had a really cool game, and we had a great time.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
That's all I've got.
I would like to report here. A week or so ago, I went to the children's reading session in Kiowa with one of my dogs and sat in. And I kind of interrupted their deal, but we got settled, and the kids had a great time. They participated in the book, and Cindy did an outstanding job, and the kids did a craft, and Amber, the dog that I took, she enjoyed all the attention, and the kids were just excited to all get out to be able to see a small dog that had hair that was just like theirs. And so we had all had a good time.
Go ahead, Robert.
I attempted this week to, and I intend on doing this again, I put up an historical piece on the Kiowa Library.
We saw that.
I put it out on at least 3 or 4 different local sites so people could see it. The feedback that I got was tremendous. Mm-hmm. I can't tell you how many people wrote me back personally and said how much they love our libraries. And so one of my hopes is that I'll get around and do something about, if not the buildings, at least the areas where all of the libraries are, so that we can kind of try and get the word out in a different format. So those of you that help promote that, I really appreciate it, and I'm looking forward to doing some more of those.
I saw that post and the comments were so cool.
Yeah.
People were a lot of names I'd never seen before, and they were so proud of the building. It was very cool. You know, Tim had been after us to get more and more information uploaded into our local history. We've got a local history platform. And for me, those comments that Robert got said to me, man, I got to get on this because, you know, we've got wonderful pictures. And if we could at least put them on the website, I think people would be blown away by some of the pictures. They're just a hoot.
Well, thanks also go out to Wendy Walp, who got me a lot of the old correspondence between the Catholic dioceses and you know, the church in Kiowa. I have to tell you, it was amazing to kind of go back and look at those letters. Some of them are over 100 years old, and seeing the bishops grousing because, you know, they couldn't get their 5 families to come up with just a little bit more money and those.
Excuse me. Do we have any other comments? Okay, then we can go on to the next agenda item. Number 6 was, I'm going to go to number 6 is the discussion and the possible action of the appointment of an interim director. So I'd like to bring this up for discussion. You know, the job of the library board is not to really be in the day-to-day business of what's going on in the library. We know that operations should be managed at the library level. And I reached out today. Wendy passed a name to me to the board yesterday of somebody at the state library who does, I think her title was training development or development, library development, and reached out to her and talked to her about, we talked about the role and the description of the board. We also talked about the way she had been notified, or that she had been notified that we lost our manager or our director, and wanted to just reach out and see what support we needed. So I asked her about the thoughts about an interim director while we do the search for a director so that the board has one point of contact. Everybody has one point of contact and support of the library district to go to. And she thought that that was a wonderful idea. And so what I'd like to see, or what I'd like to do, is I'd like to have the board consider that we talk to each of the library managers and see who would be interested in potentially taking on this. It would be like a development assignment, right? If you've not done this kind of work before, and be an interim director. That discussion would happen with each one of you. And if you have an interest, then, you know, we can go through an interview process via the board, or we can set a committee to do that. And then what I'd like to do is be able to compensate whoever we select for that time that they're doing that extra work. So it would be a training opportunity, and it would be, compensation for doing that extra work while we do the work we need to do. I mean, we've had a lot hit us in the last couple of weeks. We've got to get the budget done. We've got a deadline for that. We got to certify the mill levy. We've got to get that interim director in place, which is really important. Then we need to put out a search for a director, and the next topic of conversation is automating our payroll and our benefits. And so there's a lot going on. And so I think what might be best for the library is if you had an interim director, and I was happy to hear that the state library felt that too. So I'd like to open that up for discussion, and let's start with you, Robert. Do you have any thoughts about that?
Well, it only makes sense to me that we, as we go through this period of change, that we rely upon the institutional knowledge that we have that is instilled in our current managers. I feel any one of you, has the skill set necessary to do that. I know you have the heart, but it may also be that it's too much for you, or you don't have that particular interest at this time. Nobody should feel bad one way or the other, whether they submit to be considered or not. But I look forward to interviewing the potential candidate from our list of managers.
And then, of course, I just want to add to this. When we do post for the director job, right? I mean, anybody's welcome to apply, right? So just know that as well. Alan, do you have any thoughts?
I don't. I just like to. I would like to be included when we interview folks. Because otherwise I feel like I'm being left out in the cold sometimes.
Nope, absolutely. I think that's important. Karen?
I think an interim director is a really great idea in light of leading the library activities and institution. So I agree totally with that.
Okay. So I think that we need a motion since we have library managers here and we don't have a director, do any of the library managers want to say anything?
I'll jump in and just say I think it's a good idea. We operated for a couple of weeks where we were all three being interim managers, and I think that was a good tiding over until we could talk about it a little more with a little less franticness as we did back on the 10th. And I'm really glad to hear of the idea of choosing from within, because gosh, I'd hate to waste any time looking for an interim manager outside of the district and then going and hiring a permanent that's a pain. So the three of us have spent a fair amount of time talking and meeting since we knew Tim was leaving. And I think we're pretty good. We're kind of the three musketeers. So I think we all trust each other enough so that any one of us would be comfortable with one of the other doing it. So I think hats off to you. I think it's a great idea. I think we've learned, especially this week, so many things going on, and it gets so complicated when you're having to talk to three people. I mean, it just gets crazy. So I say great, and we'll make it work however works best for you.
I agree with that.
And I know Ruben has got micro issues, microphone, And he's, I think your comment is related to
Bill Rubin.
Yeah, he says, of course, happy to help. Okay, so then can we make a motion that we'll make a motion that will take the action of interviewing and appointing an interim director until we can get
I would make a motion that we
Wait, Alan. Alan, hold on a minute. And I want to add that as part of that selection, that there would be a bump in compensation for the person selected while they're doing this activity. Okay.
I would make that motion that we interview from our in-house folks to be an interim director, and that we would compensate them an amount to accommodate, to account for the extra time that they're going to be spending contacting and talking to everybody and dealing with us, with the trustees, to keep us on board where we're at.
Oh, you muted, Robert.
I would second that.
So Alan makes the motion, seconded by Robert. All in favor, say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Okay.
Aye.
Oh, sorry. Missed who said that? Was that Karen?
That was.
Oh, sorry, Karen.
Yes.
Okay, so it's approved.
The audible is very slow.
It's approved. All in favor.
The one thing I would add as a comment at the end, we need to do this as quickly as possible. So I know this week is Thanksgiving, but I think the first part of next week, the four directors, trustees, we need to get on the stick here and get out and about. And if we have to have a traveling caravan, do it.
I will tell you that I think, and we're going to talk about this in our agenda, is I'm trying to make sure we meet our deadlines that we have in terms of our budget. And so knowing this week is a holiday, Robert and I will have to look at the budget and then work with, I'm assuming with Wendy, to make sure the numbers are in there, and then we'll bring that back to the next budget meeting. So we'll talk about budget. Sorry, we'll talk about budget in the budget discussion. But understand your concern and the need to do this quickly and to make it a priority. I think that's important. Okay, the next topic of discussion, which is item 7, is discussion and possible action on automating payroll and benefits through an external vendor. One of the things that, and we see this today with the fact that Tim left, and then we have the finance admin person who has been, now doing the payroll with really, we don't have a director oversight. And so I think from an internal controls perspective, we need to look at how do we make sure that from a financial perspective, that we're making sure the employees get paid, the benefits get documented accordingly, we don't have a single point of failure, if something happens.
I have something to include on that. As an interim, one of three interims, I actually sat with Wendy through the whole payroll and invoicing process.
Well, that's good. That's good, because it's important.
Yeah, I just wanted to let you know that that wasn't done in a vacuum.
Okay, that's great. So there are two. So the thought is that there are two top payroll processing companies. There's one called Gusto, and there's another called ADP. And what they basically do for a small amount of money, really, it's not that expensive for the cost of the library, is that they can set up a timekeeping system where employees can put their time in the tool, you know, in an automated fashion, and then managers can go in and approve that time online. And then they're responsible for making sure all the taxes are done, para is done, and they also take the liability for that. So if something is not done right, they have to keep up with whatever the state and federal laws are. If something is not done right, they take liability for that. They do the W-2 work. I sent a document out to the board members, which has the services that they provide. And also it provides, they also provide HR services. So with the lack of a formal certified HR person, then whoever is the interim director or whoever ends up being the director, they would have an opportunity to, if they had a HR kind of issue related question, they could go to them, and they have SHRM certified people, which is a certification for HR professionals that would be able to answer their questions, right? So they also manage the benefits in this. So what I'd like to do, I mean, they provide a lot of value. And the cost for the library is $3,600 for the year, which this would provide an additional, the primary point is this provides an additional internal control from an audit perspective, which helps us. And it also ensures that we're not making any mistakes from a tax perspective or a para perspective or a benefits perspective that could have us a negative impact on us. What I'd like to do is if the board agrees in automate, and that, let me add to this. The other thing that it doesn't do, Alan, so it's clear to you, there still has to be somebody like an admin assistant or somebody, right, who is on our side putting information into our record system for our expenses, for our accounts receivable, our accounts payable. Right, we still have to track some of that in our own tool, but this just ensures that the payroll piece gets taken care of, right? Like, we won't cut checks anymore for payroll piece. We can have them do that, or they can do automatic deposit. How many payroll, do you guys get paid twice a month or once a month?
Once.
Okay, so it could potentially even be cheaper than $3,600 a year because it's based on a payroll cycle. So how many payrolls?
So how do the checks get signed to pay all the vendors?
No, so that's a different process. That's accounts receivable and accounts payable, and that stays in the library. That doesn't go through an automated payroll processing system.
Okay, that's good to know.
Yeah, you keep the accounts payable and the accounts receivable in the library, so that you guys can take care of that, enter that, and then instead of entering your benefits or any, you know, doing a paper time card, that all will be automated. And they can also keep HR records automated in a vault that's secure, like a cloud vault that's secure. So it's really of good value. They provide a lot of services. It will also help us when we're posting for positions. They have the ability, they have ZipRecruiter, so they can help with postings, they can help with position descriptions. That really gets us out right into a larger audience from a recruiting perspective when you have openings. Sure, Kathy, go ahead.
Do they do pay studies? At this point, I feel like most of our staff is underpaid, comparatively speaking. We have, you know, you have people starting in positions at $18 an hour, sign-on bonuses, and our people have been loyal all through COVID. They've worked really hard. They serve with their heart to their communities. And I feel like maybe we need to do a payroll study. And I don't know if they provide that service as well, or if we need to, you know, talk about that down the road in terms of having, you know, some kind of organization do, you know, employers council, somebody do a payroll study to see if we're paying our people adequately.
So I can say this about the payroll in terms of, I can say this about the compensation, right? So one of the questions I asked the state library today was like, do you have a list of like, do you have a salary classification wage, right? Like if you see for the state, you have, you know, this level, this level, this level. And at this level, you're compensated for this and you're, you know, the min, mid and max. The state says that they don't really have anything like that for the state because each district is different and the compensation or what you're able to pay is really determined based on your mill levy. And so that's the money that you get. That's how you determine what you can afford to expense, right? Or what you can afford to, what you can afford is based on your mill levy. So I don't know that there is anything like that per se. And she was going to look into it for us because I do understand we want to make sure that our library employees and any new people that we hire, you know, we have competitive wages. But we also have to look at that in alignment with the budget. And right now, it's going to be different since we don't have a director and we have the resignation of the financial admin assistant that we'll talk about. It's going to be a little different, but we want to keep our payroll and our benefits under 48% of our total expense. So we'll have to look at that. But I think it's not something that hasn't been thought about. And it's not something that, you know, we're looking at budget and we're trying to determine what the budget is for the next year. We're looking at compensation for the employees. I think that's important. We also have to take into consideration, right, we're trying to prepare ourselves for an expansion. So I think that I can ask about a payroll study if they do those kind of things.
I'm just curious.
Yeah, no, I think it's a good question. I think what's going to be difficult is because, as the state library said today, there's not really, like, pay for library people is kind of all over the place, and it really depends on the district.
But I think historically that there has been a payroll study done probably like 2015-ish, I think I heard, at one point in time. And I think that the Employers Council assisted with that payroll study. So I think there's some maybe some legacy information that we might be able to access in terms of that payroll study. But that's kind of a different topic. So we can go, you know, I just was curious if they did that.
So I'm recommending that we take a look at ADP. The other thing that they would do, ADP would take probably like 4 days to implement, and you would do that like a 4 or 5 days prior to a payroll session, right, a payroll period. And what they would do is they would also do training. So we could have like all the library managers be involved in that training and understand how that works so that way, you know, if something, you know, from an input perspective, you guys understand how the system is working and how the payroll works. So you would get some training with that too.
I've got a couple of comments.
I have a question here.
Okay.
I'd like to hear comments from the librarians, what they think of this.
Okay, I'll jump in there. I'm kind of neutral on whether or not we do this. You know, it doesn't. I had Alan's job, but when I was on a library board of going and signing the checks, and I loved it because it gave me the sense of tremendous power. And besides, I got to sit and talk with the director, and it was really cool. That saying, yeah, I know. I'm easily bedazzled by my own power, but. That same system now is outsourced, and it's outsourced to ADP. And Patty said something that was kind of interesting. Because it's outsourced, they eventually move from one paycheck a month to two. And I got to tell you now, it sure is easier to budget around two paychecks than around one. You know, it was just it was really cool. So I have kind of mixed feelings. So what I did this morning at 11:45, I thought, well, you know, what do other small libraries do? I put out the question on the listserv of the Association of Rural and Small Libraries. That's the organization that where our Kathy is a star because she's what we call an outfielder. She's been named and is participating in this national leadership program, and we are really, really benefiting from it. But anyway, that listserv is wonderful because people, they're so generous and they share. I had 20 responses. I put this up at 11:45 and I had 20 responses by 2:00. And I thought, that. Well, this will be great. There'll be a big trend and I can figure it out. There's not a trend at all. There's a lot of folks who do it the way we do it. There are some libraries are part of a city or a county and they contract theirs out to the city or the county. I only saw two people who've gone to ADP. The question I asked was, do you outsource? And if you do, how many employees do you have and how is it working? Because, you know, it made a difference to me whether they had, you know, a one person library or they had a 100-person library, a whole different deal. So the two ADP reports I got, the people with 50 people on the payroll said they have it, they love it, they wouldn't do it any other way. Then I got this answer from Nederland, which is the Nederland Community Library. And the director there said, we had to outsource to ADP, and if you can avoid it, I would. It should be easy, but unless you're a payroll professional, it's more time-consuming than people realize, especially if you're managing PTO, taxes, reports, et cetera. They won't completely have to eliminate staff hours because there still will be a lot of details to consider. Unless it's a huge price differential, I would sell it to them. That means you, the board, that keeping it in-house means keeping it in your local economy. Now that brings up another thing. A lot of the folks that did or outsource were outsourcing to local accountants. Kathy may know this better than I do, but I have, it's my impression that we don't have a lot of local accountants.
I don't know. I don't know too many that do that sort of work.
So if we could find somebody who would take it, that's great. But then there's a whole lot of vetting. And the thing about ADP is we know it's a known quantity. So I don't have any feelings about it either way. I think that there were some hard feelings on the staff and on Wendy's part, because what it looked like was that it was a way of saving staff money, saving money on staff so that more money could go towards building a building. And that's not a good look. Cutting staff to build a building is just not a good look. And what's more, it's counterproductive.
I'd like to speak to that.
And Robert.
I can only speak. Patty and I have talked about this before. I haven't had a full conversation with anybody other than Patty. But I can assure you that in my short tenure on the board, one of the things that I've learned is that it not only looks bad when you do things like that, it really isn't kosher. Part of the idea of doing a business, which a library is, but it's funded by the public taxpayers, is that you are given money and they expect that you, to a certain extent, spend that. And there's really nothing, you're right, or that there's nothing that's good looking about the fact that you might be trying to save money at the expense of employees, because really we're given money and we're expected to spend it, and that includes our employees. And without going into all of the minutiae of stuff that we've picked up this year, it would be the worst thing in the world we could do is cut back on employees or salaries, et cetera, and then stick that in some sort of a capital gains account and say, well, this is what we're going to do, when we really haven't advertised that to the public. So I can assure you at this point, there really has been no conversation of how we can save money by shorting our employees. One of our hardest things is trying to feel good when we go to bed at night about what we are paying you. It is not as much as we would like it to be, but we are trying to be good fiduciaries of the money. But I can assure you, no conversation has been from the four members of the board that are on here about cutting salaries or trying to do something like that so we could get that money into some sort of capital improvement scheme. So it's a good point. I take it seriously. And when you say it looks bad, because I agree with that.
Fair enough.
I have.
Jump in.
Okay. Just to give you a little background, I've been doing, I have a side hustle of doing bookkeeping for a small corporation, you know, an LLC, and of about the same amount of employees that we have here. And I was asked to cross train with Wendy, so we had redundancy. So that's what I've been doing over the last week, is working with Wendy. I can tell you that her systems are spot on. Multiple checks and balances to make sure that there's accuracy, that everything is auditable and will come out true each and every time. So I don't believe there's a high risk of liability in terms of what the library is. And I don't think there's a history of liability. I personally think sending it out is not prudent because of the fact that it really is just a small piece of what a bookkeeper would do in terms of the services provided to the library. It would keep it in-house. It would keep that salary and those things in our local economy. I'm impressed. I've been doing the side hustle for 7 years. I'm not new to this. It was very easy for me to learn her processes and her procedures. So I feel like if we hire someone that's qualified, that has a background in QuickBooks and maybe certifications and possibly some HR experience, that, you know, certifications of some kind, we could really have a bang for our buck. We would have a loyal employee. We would keep that money in our community. And so, I just think there's a benefit to keeping that position as a whole position, because, I mean, when you go out and try to recruit somebody for a job, you need to have enough meat on that in that position that they are interested, they stay interested, they have growth, they have somewhere to go and be and a place to develop too. And so as far as a valuable position in our organization, I do think that keeping the payroll in-house would contribute to a very a quality position that somebody would be interested in acquiring. And then, like I say, keeping that those funds in our local economy. So that's just my input.
So let me just interject here. First, I want to just be clear that there was no intent, right, by automating payroll or HR that we would do away with the position. We would still have an administrative assistant position. I took a look at the list of the job activities that are being done by the financial administrator. I got that from Tim, and I said to Tim, tell me the tasks that are being done and how much time is spent each week on these tasks. We're just talking about the payroll activity. Okay, the stuff associated with payroll. We're not talking about taking away the accounts receivable and accounts payable. There was 2.5 hours a week that is associated with payroll. So we're talking about 10 hours a month, right, that would be outsourced. And it takes away any risk that we might have because they have the responsibility for the payroll piece. And Alan, I know that you're concerned about accounts receivable and accounts payable and paying check, writing checks or signing checks. That work still stays in-house. That work does not go away. The difference from a payroll perspective would be payroll processing, tax filing, any electronic reports related to payrolls, they would provide those. Employees would have access, managers would have access. They could do that via, they could do their time via computer or via their mobile phone. There is a general ledger interface. They can do checks or they can do automatic deposit. They can do new hire reporting. And then they also have compliance update services, garnish payment services if that was needed, and state unemployment services, and then they could support the para. And then with that, you also get the HR support from a SHRM certified HR professionals, which I think is important. And that included stuff and included other activities. And this is on that paper that I sent to the board members. The HR help desk for questions. They have Zip Recruiter, and they have resume reviews, and they have job postings that you can do. They do background checks if we need them. Employee Handbook Wizard, we don't need that. We just had a new employee handbook. They have HR forms and documents. They have HR compliance updates and training that can be provided. They can track performance and education if necessary. They have a vault so that we can take all of our paper HR stuff and put it in the cloud and not have a paper document. You still have it, but it's in the cloud versus having it in a paper file and having to maintain that. They have state and federal resources. They do HR checkups, and they provide quarterly HR information and employment verification. So that was the stuff that comes with if you did payroll and you did HR. And the quote that I got was for biweekly, so twice a month, which what I said was $3,600 a year. So we're not looking at taking that, we're taking a small chunk, two and a half hours a week out of that financial administrative assistant position. The other stuff stays there that, I mean, the HR stuff was really minimal. It was like maybe an hour is what he had on here. And the rest of it in terms of the accounts payable, the financial piece of it, like vendor billing and organizing receipts and invoices from the vendors, all of that stuff would still stay in-house and still have support of a financial administrative assistant or an administrative assistant, whatever we decide that position should be. Yes, Robert. But wait, before you go, I just want to be clear though, there was never an intent, nor is there an intent to do away with any positions. We look at the library as expanding. I'm going to speak for myself. I look at the library as an opportunity. We've talked about expansion and growth, and I see that coming with the library, and there may be additional positions at some point in the future that would need to be added. The library is the people, right? It's the services that you provide. So the people are important. It's not about, when I look at the library, that's the most important part is the people, because you're the interface to the community. You're the reason why we have a library, right? A library wouldn't be a library without the services that you provide. So I just want to make my point clear, since I know I'm the new president, and I want to make sure people understand I'm not looking to do away with positions to save money. I'm looking at how do we tighten up our internal controls in terms of payroll and in terms of HR so we don't have any risk, and make sure that we're doing the right thing from a fiduciary perspective for the taxpayer. Okay.
I'd like to ask, God forbid we go through any kind of audit or anything like that, but what kind of advantage does this give, or does it give us any advantage in an audit?
Are audits required? They're part of the requirement for the library?
They mm-hmm. are required. An annual audit is required. And what this does, actually, it will make it a lot easier for the auditor.
Can you tell me why?
because what it will do is it's systematic, you know, and they'll have all the data right there that they can pull for the auditor in terms of payroll expenses, benefit expenses, in terms of, and like I said, the general ledger interface as well. So
that's all available now through QuickBooks as well. That would not change from what we're doing now to ADP, because all those reports and all that stuff is at your fingertips with QuickBooks as well. Just to do comparison apples to apples.
I'd like to speak, if I could. I'm not a fan of this. I think we need to stay in county. We need to be perceived by the public as a publicly funded entity taking care of our people locally. This is a, Robert pointed out earlier, we are a publicly funded deal. We need to remain that. This is not a corporation. We're not running this like a corporation. It's a different mindset, in my opinion. And if we're perceived by the employees that some computer somewhere is making all the decisions, and the trustees, we're not doing our job, so to speak, it looks bad. And I would have to say that our contract would have to state X amount of dollars. Next year, if it goes up, we go away. I mean, I have been involved with several corporations where this stuff was farmed out, and year after year after it started, everything escalated in price, and the company that was doing the service, they're the only ones that's making money on the deal. And I'm not a fan of this.
I have a question for Patty.
That.
Patty, sure. Can I was wondering, one of the things that I do find attractive about this is the HR piece. Would they be willing to not do payroll but pick up the HR piece, so that, as you said, we would have that certified HR person? I do feel like that is an important piece that in many ways we've been lacking.
I think you can pick and choose the pieces that you want, and I had picked the payroll and the HR, because like I said, it's not about us not making decisions. It's just about automating that payroll process and giving us some security and not ensuring we don't have risk. We won't carry the risk for that. They carry the liability and the risk. So to make sure that we're keeping up with state and federal laws in terms of payroll and taxes.
I understand that, yeah.
Or para, right? Again, I want to be clear. It's not like they're making decisions. We still make those decisions. We still have inputs into those tools, right? It's just that their tool that they're doing it in, right, provides more convenience for employees, less paper that we have to use, and it's more automated.
Right. Is it possible to get the dollar amount that it would cost just for the HR piece for comparison for the other board members that sure. may or may not be on board?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And I wonder, this is hard in the time of COVID, but would they be willing, would ADP be willing to give us a demonstration? I've looked
yes,
at demonstrations.
They would. And
if it was, you know, I almost said something I was really going to regret. If the demonstration was geared not to CPAs, but to working library staff, the folks that are going to be submitting their hours, and then the managers who are going to be approving those hours, you know, kind of down at the grassroots level. I know it would be a real, it will be a challenge to have a virtual demonstration with us all scattered around, maybe if we wore masks, we could at least have the demonstration in the castle or the Elizabeth meeting room and have it projected so that whoever's doing that online demonstration, you know, we're all seeing it instead of having to wrestle with low bandwidth and all that other stuff. I think that this is a matter not of if, but when, because we're 18 employees now. If we are able to do the kind of growth that we'd like to do, we will undoubtedly have more employees. And when we get to 25 or 30, is it going to be so much fun to do it by hand? I don't think so. And I understand that QuickBooks is doing some of it, but an awful lot of it is done by hand. I mean, I sign timesheets today. So the question to me is, are we big enough to do this yet? And in my research this afternoon, talking to other libraries, it kind of looks to me like, yeah, maybe, maybe not. It kind of depends on what we're ready to do. We are at an interesting, forgive me for saying this, it's one of those TV politician words, but inflection points, where knowing that Wendy is moving on and having lost Tim, somebody's going to be starting from scratch. Kathy, Lord love you for being the backup. I don't know if the board knows that Tim, before all of this started to happen, he asked us to look at a succession or emergency backup for all of us. We had a cool meeting where he said, okay, list the four or five most important things that you do, and then if for some reason you go away, you know, hit by a bus, who's going to do it? That was a good thing for me to think about, because the person that I would ask to do those things, I've never trained her to do them. And so Wendy was already thinking about this because we talked about it. You know, we said, yeah, we got to figure out what happens if, you know, that old Saturday Night Live skit, you know, where the father disappears out of the picture frame. All of us have to be ready for that. So we're at that inflection point where it's probably a great time to be talking about this.
I'd like to add one last thing here, and it really isn't, it just comes up at this point because I think that some of this argument has been couched around some very sensitive feelings that people have had, and rightly so. I don't think anybody on the board is ducking the fact that, you know, the employees have felt very, you know, very strong. They felt very strong feelings about what kind of recognition they were getting from the board. The thing that I need to say, and this is my personal statement, and nobody, I didn't talk about that I was going to make this statement, but I feel I need to. I defend the staff's right to always come back and be critical of the board. That because, you know, if it were a family, you would want that. You would want people, all of the members, to be talking and, you know, expressing themselves. This is not, we have no desire to push anything down anybody's throat. I do feel like sometimes that we all got lumped in together with a lot of the decisions in the past. And when in fact, and I said this to Lori the other day, it is sometimes hard when the structure of the board has been set up to sort of be, you know, the control of the agenda sort of controls the conversation. We did not have a lot of control over that. And as you are aware now, we're all together and you're in this room with us, and that's what we want. But I also want to defend the board in one respect over the last year, and that includes the four members sitting here and Jim. And that is, every time it came to a vote about protecting the staff, every time through COVID, every time it came to anything that had to do about protecting, you know, this culture, this family that is this group, we voted unanimously every time to stand behind the staff. And I think we're still there. And I have no reason to believe that we won't continue to be there. I really do hope that we can continue to have these kinds of important discussions where we do not have to agree and still can walk away from the table and say to one another, I respect that opinion. And, you know, I know you feel strongly, Alan, about this. You know, I'm weighing it all. I think Patty has a different, you know, and this is one of the reasons why I think she's a good president, because she has more HR experience, more payroll, more this, that, and the other thing. That was never my long suit and why I said I would not take the presidency. I really think that this is something we're going to have to look at, because Lori points out something very important. I expect that we're going to grow. And if we do this build out and we do it properly, it's going to help everybody in the district, all of the branches, because this will become a hub for everybody and different ways to generate revenue, et cetera. So let's just keep this, you know, this is my opinion, you know, let's try to never lose sight of the fact that the people that are sitting here tonight, all, to my knowledge, and on both sides, whether that be from the staff side or from the trustees side, want the same thing. We want this to work. We want it to be the best it can possibly be. And I think we're all on the same page on that. So I hope we can continue this tone, because I think everybody's listening to everybody else. Thank you.
Yes. I just want to say one more thing, and then I'm going to ask Karen to say her part. But Ruben, I see that he made a comment. Agreed, it definitely needs to be approachable for all staff to learn quickly and not have to fuss or fume over. So when I talked with the representative, he said it takes about 3 days to get it together, to get it input into the system, to implement it, and a couple hours of training is what he had said. So, but what I hear, I wanted to say that. So let me ask Karen, do you have comments that you would like to provide about this?
Karen is muted. I don't know if she knows that. There we go.
I just lost a great amount of audio. I really didn't hear anything Patty had to say at this last point.
Bummer.
So,
Ruben had asked the question. He said it definitely needs to be approachable for all staff to learn quickly and not to have to fuss and fume over. And I answered that question. I answered that question. It's about 3 days to implement, a week at the max, and a couple of hours of training at the initial onset.
Okay, thank you, Patty. My whole system here is very pathetic, so I'm doing my best. What I deduce from this is that I think it actually would be a good idea, given the relatively kind of small work impact, but yet efficient. So I'm more than neutral. I'm leaning towards accepting this possibility.
Thank you. So what I'd like to do is, I heard what people have said. So what if I schedule a demo so that you guys could see it, you could ask your questions, and also I can ask about separating the quote on payroll and HR, though I personally think it'd be advantageous to have both. And then I can also, the other piece of that too is, right, we can talk about something to consider, right, is doing that payroll twice a month versus once a month. if we automate it, if that would be more beneficial.
I would like to see board members attend that as well. Give Alan a chance to see and get his questions answered, and I can go, or Karen, if Karen could get to that, to get, you know, a firsthand, because I'm just not as experienced in this.
No, sure. And I don't know, I'll have to ask him. I don't know if they do like a live, like come to your place and train, or if it would be like in a Zoom demo kind of a thing. So I'll find that out, and then I'll bring that back.
Patty, I have a quick question. Do you have a timeline that you're wanting to implement this?
I was kind of hoping that we could get it done by the end of December, because it's, if everybody agrees to it, then we can, you know, start doing it. But I understand, and we can start it for the new year and include it as part of the budget. I'm, especially since they said it would only take less, you know, it would take less than a week to get it implemented, and you would do it like a week before the payroll to make sure that the payroll is, you know, not affected. So, but I understand the people have a need to see it and maybe have a better understanding of it. I'm a visual person myself, and I know, I mean, I do IT work all day long. So I get that you want to see how it works. And so let me see if I could set up a demonstration, and we'll see if maybe we could do a special meeting, you know, the first part of December, and they could show that to us. And get your input on it, get your thoughts about it.
Sounds great.
Okay.
I think it's a good idea. I think it's a great idea.
Okay.
I would agree with that.
Okay. And I will work that tomorrow. And I just want to be clear, right? I want to be very clear that this is not taking away the financial stuff, the other financial stuff that gets done in the library. That would still be with the administrative assistant. Okay, so can somebody make a motion that I will reach out to the ADP vendor for a demo and get a separated quote for HR and payroll? Robert, Alan, can one of you make a motion?
Oh, Robert, you're muted. Darn it.
Yeah, just.
I'll make a motion that we reach out for a demo and to have a separated cost for HR. And I'd like to have that, has to be attended by all the trustees, along by as many of the library managers and assistants as possible.
I'm not opposed to that, but that's a change in what the president asked. Do you mind, Patty?
Yeah, I would,
in order to just keep it simple, I'd like to keep it to the board members and the library managers, if that would be okay, versus all employees, because there's no need to have hours.
Right. Well, that's what I meant. I meant the library managers. I don't think it's beneficial to have all the part-time, everybody there. It's just too cumbersome.
Yeah.
I would agree to that.
So then go ahead.
Depending on the availability in, you know, the trustees, we might all not be able to come, but we could all try.
Yes.
I would.
Go ahead, Alan, your comment.
If we could have at least 2/3 or more of the trustees there, and the same as many of the library managers as possible, I'm agreeable to that, and then separate the HR out so I know what the costs are for both, and do that demonstration as quickly as possible.
Okay, Is that your motion?
Yes.
All right, then I second that motion.
All in favor? Say aye.
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 All agreed. Okay, all in favor. Okay, so the next item on the agenda was certification and approval of the mill levy. And I know that we have a date to do that by 12:10 or no later than 12:10. So that's why I had it on the agenda today. But I received an email from Wendy indicating that we can't really have that discussion or can't certify the mill levy until they recert the valuation takes place. And that has to be done. I'm sorry, that has to be done no later than 12:10. Our budget has to be done by 12:15, or our recertification has to be done by 12:15. So with that said, I'd like to table the certification and the approval of the mill levy for the next budget, for the December 6th meeting, if everybody is in agreement with that, since we don't have all the information at this time to be able to do that.
Do you need that as a motion?
One question.
Sure.
Who does the certification? Who are we waiting on?
The tax assessor, right? What is her name? I'm like the assessor's office who does the valuations of the properties and stuff.
Okay. We're not waiting on one of us.
No.
That's what I'm worried about.
No. We can't certify the mill levy until the recert of the value takes place. And that's supposed to take place no later than 12:10. That gets done by the county. And then we certify our mill levy, and our current mill levy is 2.516.
Do we have to make a request to that tax assessor for that assessment or not? Or they just automatically?
No, we're just going to, we have a requirement to certify and approve the mill levy by 12:15. Based on the calendar, the operations calendar provided by the library.
I move that we table the mill levy question until such time as we're prepared to get an answer on that.
If we get the information by the next meeting.
I would second that.
Okay, so Robert makes the motion.
That.
Alan seconds it. All in favor say aye.
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 So moved. Okay, we'll table that for the 12-6 one. Hopefully we'll have the information by then. The next item is... I kind of did this out of order. My apologies. The next item is 11, which was I wanted to make notice that we have received the resignation of Wendy Walp as the financial administrative assistant. I want to say I'm sad to see her go. She has been with the library for 18 years. She brings and has brought a lot of value to the library, and I want people to know that that has not gone unnoticed. And I wish her all the luck on her new journey, whatever that happens to be. Robert, do you have any comments?
I do. I've known Wendy for a long time out here. I see her as a fixture in this county. And when people ask me for, if you had to say who was the face of the library, I've said this to a number of you, it's Wendy. I think there was probably a mistaken impression that that somehow we were unsatisfied with a Wendy, and I am as sad to see her go as anybody that is a fixture, somebody who has done so much good. It is hard. I understand her probably frustration, but I wish her well, and she's a champ.
Karen, do you have any comments?
Yes, I do. I am really, really sorry to see Wendy leave this position. I think the world of her. She's got such a great personality and she's so talented. And like Robert said, she's just part of the whole county around here. And I just think the world of her. So I wish you the best for whatever comes next for her.
Yeah. Alan?
I'm very saddened that she felt that she needed to go elsewhere, and I'm hoping that we can get through this without too much turmoil, and I'm concerned. I want us to do things correctly, and I feel we, as a board, or at least as myself, we've let her down. So I wish her the best for her endeavors, and I'm sorry to see her go.
And I don't know if she's on. She didn't identify when we signed in, so. If she's on, I hope she knows that we mean what we said. Okay, the next item on the agenda is the budget discussion. So we need to do some cleanup of the budget. With the budget committee was Robert. He was part of the committee with the president, which was Jim, and they were working with Tim. So now Robert and I are gonna take the role, try to clean up what we have left to do on the budget. I want to be able to present a clean budget when I present the budget at the next meeting. So I'd like to table any further budget discussion. We also want to get this demo done. And if that's something we want to do, we want to make sure we get that kind of added in as well. So that cost, and if we decide to do that. So what I'd like to do is table the budget discussion for the December 6th meeting. Hopefully we'll have discussion and approval on the 6th so that we can meet our 12:15 deadline. Does anybody have any questions or comments about that on the board? Robert?
No.
I don't have any questions either. I think that's reasonable. I have only one comment. I think we need to, the budget needs to reflect that some things are going to cost more. And I'm sure, I hope everyone, we're all looking at that. Thank you. Thank you.
I know Tim had done the budget, like he had started the budget. And so there's just a few pieces we need to finalize. But I want to make sure that, if we make a choice to go forward with automating payroll, that we try to get the demo and get that expense as a part of the budget. So we'll work to get the demo as soon as possible so that we can make a decision on that. And if we need to add it as a line item, I want to make sure when we bring the budget back for approval that we have a clean budget, that it's ready to go. Somebody make a motion that we table further budget discussions until the December 6th meeting, please.
I ask that we table the budget discussion until the next meeting on December the 6th.
I second that.
Okay, so we have a first from Robert, a second by Karen, to table further budget discussions until the December 6th meeting. All in favor, say aye.
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 So, Karen, did you say aye?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, so that So moved. Okay. And then the next item on the agenda is our public comment. We welcome the public to our meetings, and I see that we have a couple of public that have joined. Does anybody have any comments?
I would like to speak if possible, if nobody else has one.
Kathy, go ahead.
I'm just kind of in light of the discussion during the payroll automation. There was a lot, I'm just kind of have some notes. There was a lot of talk about employee perception and that kind of thing. And we as managers have talked about this, and our staff, they are not confident in this board. They're concerned about the future of our library. They have seen some contrary behavior during board meetings in the past, and they've seen a lot of change in the last few months. And as a group of managers, we would like to request or ask that we have an open meeting, you know, open public meeting of the three managers and the four board members to just clear the air and have an opportunity to listen to one another about maybe possible concerns that you have had and we have had heard, you know, through our staff and what have you, to be able to, because I just feel like right now we're going through a transition and we have such a huge opportunity, I think, right now to build from a positive place and to create cohesion and collaboration. And I mean, I'm excited about what I've seen tonight at our meeting, because I feel like this has been a pretty positive experience. And I want, I'm asking that we have that open meeting, that the seven of us actually meet in person at the Elizabeth Library in the meeting room. We can social distance. I'm sure that Ruben can set up this, you know, set it up somehow so that we can provide that virtually to the public, but where we can have an opportunity, all of us, to kind of get together, kind of find our way onto the same page as far as, you know, so that we're singing off the same page. We have an understanding operationally where we're going. And also just kind of begin to see a vision for the future, because we used to have that. We used to have the sense of where we're going, what we're doing, and how we're going to get there. And the staff doesn't feel that. I think we as managers, you know, of course, with the rug pulled out and things changing and knew this and knew that and this idea and that idea, we really want to, you know, move forward in concert with you. And we, you know, as a group, as a managers, we feel like this might be the best timing, the best opportunity for all of us to get together. When we get together, of course, it has to be public, so we have to make that a public meeting. But we would really, really appreciate the time of the board to be able to do that. And we feel like it would be valuable for all of us to kind of come together and find a place where we can move forward in a positive way. We'd like to do it as soon as possible so that that can happen before, say, the holidays, and maybe even in a week, in the next week or something, if we could agree on a time and a date. So that's what I'm putting forward to the board, is can we do this? How soon can we do this? Because I think the sooner the better, because it's going to put our staff at ease. I think it will help with possible public perception, a lot of different things.
I have a couple of comments, and I appreciate what you had to say there, Kathy. I know it's heartfelt, and I know that the all of the people that we have hired care about the library district. I, with no slight to Jim Duvall. Jim ran the library in a, I mean, the trustee board of trustees in a very different tone and manner than what we intend to do. And as long as the conversation can be productive, I cannot undo some of the things that, you know, like I sat through the meeting in the back room there, and I listened to the anger and the hurt that people were feeling. And I tried to acknowledge it to the best of my ability at that time. And I have worked around the clock, seriously, around the clock since Jim has left, to try and really keep the wheels on this and get a new atmosphere going where, you know, I mean, everybody can have a voice. Everybody can speak. But if it the only thing that I would ask is that whatever we do, it remain as positive as possible. I cannot go back and some of the things that have been done. And I do not think it would be constructive for us to just keep tearing the scab off of the wound and saying that this was done wrong. We acknowledge as a board, Alan has said it, Patty has said it, I say it, and I know Karen feels it, that we want to do a better job. We want to include you. That's why you're here tonight. So I'm not opposed to it as long as we keep the tone in what can we do to make this better without sort of reliving some of the mistakes that have been made, which some of it was not in our control.
Yeah,
that's the only thing.
I think Robert makes a great suggestion. It's really easy for us to go back and ruminate over past hurts, but it doesn't get us anywhere. But what might be helpful is if we talk about things that'll help us go forward. And also, if we have some, we as staff have misapprehensions, if there are things that we didn't understand, this would be a good time for us to get that out there.
Absolutely.
Well, I do think it kind of goes back to something that you said, Robert, and it was like, you know, you said, and I thought it was really important, so I wrote it down. And you said something to the effect that you defend the right to be critical of the board. And I think that is a great premise because we all have to be able to feel like we can come to you and be honest and share our opinions or our thoughts and be heard. And so I think that's really important. And I do agree that it should be, we should maintain decorum. We should be positive. Because ultimately what I'm requesting is for us to be able to kind of wrap this package up, set it aside, and move forward in a positive direction. And it's so important for our staff to see the cohesion, to see the process that you guys are willing to work through for the common good of our library. So I appreciate your thoughts, Robert.
Thank you.
Any other comments from the public or the staff or the board?
I'm just thinking on a timing basis that if we have an ADP demonstration, maybe this is something we could do to follow the ADP demonstration so that we're not taking huge chunks out of everybody's calendar. And I don't think it has to turn into a group gripe session. I just think we can kind of talk about what we've heard and what we've perceived that concerns us, and you can set us straight on what we don't understand, and then we move on. This is such a weird setup. A library district, our relationship with the county is odd. There's just no two ways about it. But we're still a small county. In terms of population, and I know that word of some of our changes and our disruptions in the last couple of weeks, I know those have made it onto the county government. And I want us to be able to, all of us together, be showing them a very strong, positive front instead of the look of a fractured organization. So again, another inflection point. This is a great time when we can, I'm sorry, Patty.
I've been seeing it too.
Damn, what long legs she's got.
Look. He likes to be the showman.
But anyway, I think if we can, you know, all of us talk together, we're going to be able to tell anybody, any of our taxpayers in Elbert County, that we're working for them, that we're working together, that mm-hmm. institutions change, and we've been given some great opportunities by these changes, and we're just going to jump forward. So that's what I'm thinking.
Sherry,
I'd like to jump in here. I really like the idea of having this meeting happen after that demonstration deal. To me, that sounds like an ideal time. Best use for everybody's travel and to attend it. To me, it's a chance to have things happen quickly, and I think it would be beneficial to everybody. I really like that idea.
Since this wasn't an agenda item, I think the ADP demo was the agenda item that we took a motion on. I don't think we can take a motion on this in public comment, but I will take the action to get the demo lined up and then see if we can do it at the same time, have that discussion. Sherry,
maybe
did
you set it up as a special?
I would appreciate that.
Sorry, Sherry, you go for it.
I just want to say that I don't know what went on before, and it doesn't matter, but coming from a resident of Elbert County, it looks like you guys are all trying to find some common ground and some fluidity. So I think that's awesome. So, I mean, there's going to be a lot of change, obviously, and the more that I think that you can be fluid and be with that change is good, and I see that within all of you. So it's really cool to come in here and to see that you guys can talk. So really, that's all. I praise you for that, because that's a good thing.
Thank you.
In this world of so much commotion, you all are talking, and that's wonderful. So I've been here the whole time. I've been very listening. I have dogs, they bark a lot. So I'm just, it's really cool to see, and that's really all I have to say.
Thank you.
I appreciate that. I think in the discussions I've had, and Kathy, I haven't been out to Simla, and I need to come out there, and I need to go out to Kiowa, and I need to get engaged. And with the pandemic, I think this last year and a half, I think, has been really hard for all of us, right? Like, you guys have worked under extreme pressure, you know, and I hope that what you know from our conversations, and if you know me, that we all have a love. We wouldn't be on this board if we didn't have a love for libraries. And if we didn't have a love for what the library does for community and the exchange of ideas. So I think we're all on the same page in terms of, you know, we all care about the library and the employees of the library and what the library brings to community. And I hope that we could have that discussion clear in the air. And I always say, change sometimes is hard, but it's good. You can have positive things can come out of change. It doesn't have to be negative, right? And, you know, I think we're really at what you said, Lori, we're kind of at a reflection point where we have an opportunity, and we know that, you know, we've been talking about it as a board about growth, that we have an opportunity to make a real difference going forward from a library community, not from only as, you know, the library and the folks who work at the library and who are the face to the community, but also as a board. And I hope that we can have those conversations and continue to have conversations and be on the same page and hear each other. And Tim used to say, right, The library is a place where you come for an exchange of ideas and discovery. And yeah, I believe that. I believe that when Tim said it, and I believe it now. So I hope that we can represent that as a board, and that that you'll continue to represent that as employees of the library to the community. So do we have any other public comments or any other comments? If not, then I'm going to go to the next agenda item. Okay. The next agenda item is we have the next scheduled meeting, which if I look on the website, it says December 6th. And then I was looking at something else and it said December 7th. So yes, since we published on the website December 6th, I think that probably is a correct date. And that's what we,
that's what I understood it to be.
Okay. All right. So our next scheduled meeting will be December 6th at 6 p.m. That meeting, what we'll do is we'll bring back any tabled conversations and hopefully have the budget in preparation or ready to finalize and vote on. And then hopefully we'll have the certification. If we don't, then we'll have to plan for another special session to do that stuff, because we have to get the budget done and submitted by the 15th, and we have to certify the mill levy. Those are our number one priorities that we have to get done. I'll take the action that I will schedule, you know, work with you all to see a good timing, talk with the ADP about a demo, work with the board. We'll try to find a good time that works for everyone, and we'll tack on to that demo if we can. We'll see how long the demo will last, but we'll see if we can tack on a follow-on discussion about how do we come together as a board and as library leaders to do the right thing for, ultimately for the board. We have a fiduciary responsibility to the taxpayers that each one of us takes seriously. And so, you know, but we also care about our library, and we care about the people who work in the library. So we'll come together and we'll have a discussion about that. And then the next item on the agenda then is adjournment. Does somebody want to make a motion to adjourn? And I know we went long today, tonight, and I want to thank everybody for staying on, especially for Karen. I know it's hard, Karen, with your internet being difficult. So I appreciate you hanging in there with us. Somebody want to make a motion to adjourn?
I would make a motion that we adjourn, and thank you very much.
I would second that.
So Alan makes the motion. Robert seconds it. All in favor, say aye.
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 Okay, all approved. And we are adjourned at 7:43.
In the words of Ted Lasso, believe, we'll make this happen.
Thank you, everybody.
Very good.
Thank you.
Bye, everybody.
Everybody have a good turkey day.
Yeah, you too.
All right, okay. Take care.
Bye-bye.